Next, we have pleural abnormalities. We've got three possibilities here: pneumothorax, pleural effusion, and empyema. So let's talk about pneumothorax first. And let's skip to the picture. All right, so pneumo means air, thorax means chest, air chest. There should be a lung here, but there's no lung, there's just air. So it's caused by a puncture of the pleura. So the lung is going to recoil and collapse, and we have two types. Now, say 2 by 2. 2 by 2 gives us how many possibilities? 4. All right, so we have open or tension, and we have spontaneous or secondary. All right. So we are going to pretend like we're in genetics class for a moment, and we're going to do a Punnett square. But instead of putting genes, we're going to put pneumothorax etiologies. Oh, this is going to be fun. All right, so here's our square, or our rectangle, our Punnett rectangle. Now, up on top, we're going to put etiology. So our etiology can be either spontaneous or, read the slide, secondary. Now, for types, we can have either open or communicating, or we can have tension. So what are our possible types? What would this corner over here be? Okay, so we have a spontaneous open. All right, this one would be secondary open. This one would be spontaneous tension. And this one would be a secondary tension. So, two different causes, spontaneous or secondary, and then two different types, open or tension, for a total of 4 combinations. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's talk about open versus communicating, or open versus tension. Open is when air can go both ways. So if you look at this little diagram here, air in this case could come in or out. That's called open. Now, in an open one, the lung collapses, but because air can come in and out, it's not going to get worse. It's just going to stay the way it is. What? I'll tell you in a second. Now, in tension, there's a one-way valve here. So the person takes a breath, air comes in, but it can't get back out. So now what happens, every time the person takes a breath, this space gets bigger. So what happens is this space actually begins to shift the trachea over and push on the other side. So now the other side is becoming compressed. That's how it can get worse. So how many of you have seen Heaven Can Wait? Heaven Can Wait? The one with Reese Witherspoon? And she's like, stab, stab, I'm a doctor. Yeah. So what's stupid about that whole thing is, you know, here she is in the middle of a restaurant, guy collapses, and the first thing she thinks is, could this be a tension pneumothorax? The first thing she should have thought was, is the patient choking? But anyway. That's Hollywood for you. Yeah. So anyway, that patient had a tension pneumothorax. You know, every time he took a breath in, it got worse. So how do you stabilize this? You got to stab him and you got to release that pressure. Okay. We usually use a chest tube. Now we've stabilized the pressure, so it's not getting bigger. But is the problem fixed? What do we have to do to fix the problem? Now we have to suck the air out. So we're going to put them on a suction tube. So you puncture their chest with a chest tube, and then you hook that up to suction. And that's how we fix a pneumothorax. Now, as far as the spontaneous versus secondary, Spontaneous is it just happens. Pop. Oh, whoops. Secondary means trauma. So, resulting from chest trauma. So, tell me, what are the two major traumas to the chest that would probably cause pneumothoraxes? Okay, car accidents are okay, but not as common. I mean, okay, they're common, but... Yeah, but what would cause the collapsed lung? The pneumothorax. What is the damage to the chest that is most likely to cause it? Okay, broken ribs can, but let's think more purposeful. Stab wounds and gun wounds. Yes. Gunshot wounds and stab wounds are the big ones. They are designed to cause pneumothorax. And then we have other blunt traumas like car accidents, but those are harder for it to happen. Car accidents can cause it, falls off of ladders can cause it. But anytime you have a puncture wound that punctures the chest, you need to be thinking pneumothorax. All right. If it's a very small pneumothorax, open, and it's an open one, you just watch them, you give them oxygen, and you check for aspiration. If it's a large one, you got to put in the chest tube and apply suction. If it's a tension pneumothorax, it is life-threatening. Why is it life-threatening? Because it gets bigger with every breath, and it starts to push the other lung and compress it.
Does it affect the heart?
It can affect the heart's ability to pump, yeah. So a patient with tension is going to have severe hypoxemia, dyspnea, hypotension, deviation of trachea away from the pneumothorax. So it's going to be pushed to the other side. So when we talk about health assessment, I think today we're actually doing head and neck. So one of the things we want to do anytime you look at a person's neck is you look at their trachea. Okay, midline. If it's off to one side, what are the two things you can think of? Pneumothorax and cancer, tumors. All right, pleuridesis. Pleuridesis is the installation of a caustic substance into the pleural space that causes scar tissue. The scar tissue will then supposedly spontaneously heal the pleural space. So sometimes we've stabilized the patient, we put them on the chest tube, but they're not healing. So in order to kind of get the body to heal, to jumpstart the process, you put a caustic substance into the pleural space, and that causes an inflammatory reaction in the pleura and causes it to start to heal. That's called pleuridesis. One more time. This is what a pneumothorax looks like. Here we have a tension pneumothorax. You can see that it's actually pushed the trachea over and is beginning to compress this lung, and the heart is actually shifting over as well, which will affect its ability to pump properly. Here's a picture of a chest tube being inserted into the space, and in this case, they just have it connected to a syringe right now. Yeah, a hemothorax is when you have blood in the space instead of air. Which one is more dangerous? Yeah, hemothorax is more dangerous because now not only you have to deal with the air problem, you also have to deal with a blood pressure problem. And then once you've fixed the blood pressure problem, then you also have to deal with the anemia issue. So hemothorax is much worse than a pneumothorax. All right, pleural effusion. Pleural effusion is in the space between the pleura. Now, hold your hands together. Remember we said that there is no real space between the pleura? Even though it's two ply, they're kind of stuck together. Like good tissue, like good toilet paper. Not the bad stuff that just goes whoosh. So, sometimes we have a disease or a condition in where we start to get fluid that starts to push those two parts apart, two sides apart. That's called a pleural effusion. Usually comes from blood vessels or lymph damage, and it can cause compression atelectasis. Now, the lung does not collapse. It is merely compressed. There's several different kinds of fluid that can be in the space. A transudate is just serous fluid. Have you ever gotten a blister? You pop it and just clear fluid comes out. That is called transudate. Exudate will have gunk in it, like pus. Chyle is fatty lymph fluid. It's not that common, but it can happen. And then empyema is when you have bacterial infection in between the lining of the pleura. Patient will need antibiotics for this one. So here we can see there's a pleural effusion. There's fluid in the space right here that's kind of pushing the lung, but it's not, the lung is still inflated. It's just compressed. How do we fix this? Well, you try and relieve the cause that caused it, or you can stick a needle in there and suck the fluid out. That is called a thoracentesis. And here's a picture of thoracentesis. All right, next we have abscess and cavitation. I told you, respiratory just goes on and on and on. You're going to be like this by the end of this class. And then we have more to do tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to be fun. But after tomorrow, guess what? 3/4 of the way done. The big thing on the final? Everything. Respiratory, anemias, and clots. That's what the big thing's going to be on the midterm. On the final, yeah. Do you want me to say that again? Respiratory, anemia, and clots, which is, and cancer. Thanks. Okay, so yeah, 4 things. All right, abscess. An abscess is a circumscribed area of suppuration and destruction of long parenchyma. What do we say suppuration was? What is suppurative exudate? Purulent or pus. So what we're talking about is an area of bacterial or other infection mixed in with a whole bunch of white blood cells, dead and kicking, that has been kind of walled off from the rest of the body. That's an abscess. It's a pocket of infection. Now, it usually occurs after consolidation. What is consolidation? A mass of fluid in the lungs that we call pneumonia. Pneumonia. All right, so what's the difference between consolidation and pneumonia? Pneumonia is the disease caused by consolidation. So consolidation is a collection of fluid and gunk in the lung, and it causes a disease called pneumonia. All right, so after consolidation, typically that's when you're going to get an abscess. It can be filled with pus, fluid, and microorganisms. The most common causes are pneumonia from aspiration, Klebsiella. You guys remember Klebsiella from micro, right? No. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to put it on a quiz sometime. Or Staphylococcus. These are the most common causes. Now, cavitation is when the abscess empties out and you have a little pocket. So it's a cavitation is making a cavity. Where there used to be lung tissue, then we had an abscess. The abscess drained, now we have a pocket of nothing. Tuberculosis likes to cause cavitation. All right, next we have pulmonary fibrosis, excessive scar tissue. Remember, we said fibrosis, you need to think scar. Fibrosis, scar. Fibrosis? Fibrosis? Scar. Fibrotic tissue. Scar tissue. Fibrotic tissue. Scar tissue. All right. Reduces the ability of the lung tissue to expand and compress. The lungs are supposed to be like a sponge. They're supposed to be able to squeeze and then come back open. If you put scar tissue, which is designed to be like a rope, strong, it doesn't want to stretch and it doesn't want to compress. So what does that do to our lungs' ability to squeeze and then open up again? It makes it harder. So fibrosis always makes it harder to breathe. So the patient is going to have harder time breathing. The other thing is that it can also slow alveolar diffusion. Because the alveoli are, how big is the membrane of an alveoli? Really thin, right? Now, if we put a whole bunch of scar tissue around that alveolus, what have we just done? Made it thicker, made it harder to get air through it. All right, we're almost done with this stuff. But don't worry, we'll go on. Chest wall problems. First one is chest wall constriction. Chest wall constriction is any condition that prevents the chest from normally expanding to take in air. So, patient's going to have difficulty breathing because their chest can't expand normally. Quite common in kyphoscoliosis, so the kypho, humpback, scoliosis, lateral curvature of the spine. Also common in morbid obesity. Person has so much weight on their body that the weight literally holds their chest down. It's like someone sitting on their chest all day long. How many of you had a little brother, or sorry, a big brother, who liked to sit on your chest when you were a little kid and like beat you up? And you're like, I can't breathe! Okay, well, morbid obesity is like having a big brother sitting on your chest all day. Then we have something we call flail chest. Flail chest is when you break several ribs in a row. So then every time you take a deep breath in, the ribs are going to flail inwards and outwards. Causes pain, dyspnea, unequal expansion. Expansion, yeah, you know how to check for that. Hypoventilation, and the cure is internal fixation. So what we're going to do is we're going to do surgery on the person. We're going to put some pins in to make sure that the ribs are fixed. So this is kind of what it looks like. You got several ribs that are broken off. So when the person takes a breath in, they suck in. They flail inwards. When the person takes their breath out, they flail outwards. They push out. So that's why it's called flail chest, because it's just flailing in and out and in and out. All right, last topic, I think. Inhalation disorders. Exposure to toxic gas, such as smoke from forest fires or from cigarettes or other things. All kinds. People try to smoke all kinds of crazy stuff. Ammonia, hydrogen chloride, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, all of these can cause severe inflammation and pulmonary edema. You can also get oxygen toxicity. What kind of people were at risk for oxygen toxicity? No. People who go diving and aren't smart. Because it's very difficult to become oxygen toxic in the normal atmosphere. You really have to increase atmospheric pressure a lot before you get enough oxygen to actually become toxic. But people who dive who are not smart enough to know when they're supposed to replace nitrogen and oxygen with helium, those are the people we're talking about. All right, pneumoconiosis is a change in lung from things like silica, asbestos, and coal. Basically, you're breathing in small particles. So in the first one, exposure to toxic gas gave us inflammation because the gas particles actually caused inflammation. Now here we're talking about little particles that get into the lung and keep a person from breathing properly. And asbestosis is not as common in this country anymore because we no longer use asbestos. Silicosis is from silica. And then coal miner, as long, well, don't become a coal miner. And if you do become a coal miner, make sure your name isn't Zoolander. And then we have allergic alveolitis, where you have an allergic reaction which destroys your alveoli. Done. All right, let's take a 2-minute break. and then we'll come back.